and we came up with an integrated plan, included areas which we will be focusing on, which is the transformation and inclusion through decisive interventions to ensure increased Black ownership and participation in the sector. And in that plan, we said we'll focus in making sure that there's Black ownership and participation, and that the community benefit from mining activities, and monitoring and enforcing of compliance and the finalization of MPRDA and the mining charter. And because we are presenting this towards the end of June, some of the plans that we have, we started to implement. But we said today is just about sharing our plans, and as we go along, if the committee is interested in knowing the progress and the plans that we have made, we can always come back and give progress on those specific issues. Another focus areas was focus area is about attracting investment and growing the sector through investment promotion. And for that, we plan to do more stakeholder engagement towards growing the sector, making sure that the state participate in the ownership in the mining sector, and promoting upstream petroleum investment, which include taking FASA to be reporting directly to the department as envisaged when it was created. The other area which we'll be focusing on is on mineral beneficiation. We had a strategy developed for mineral beneficiation, and we said within our entities there are certain beneficiation work that is being done, and we will work together with the entities like MinTech and State Diamond Trader to enhance our beneficiation strategy, and also coordination of skills initiatives in the industry. We then said for us to be able to implement all these priority areas successfully, we need certain enablers, which includes a improvement of our own internal efficiencies. And part of it is to have integrated systems that will help us in information sharing and management of information. Also to look at our branding and communication strategy, that when we go to provinces, we communicate more on what we do and how we can be reached, so that they are the communities is aware of our engagement, and that includes reviewing our service delivery model. We also then said there's interdependencies in what we do with what the entities do. So we then said we will be strengthening the oversight with our entity and the collaboration. And we then said we'll focus on also having regular meetings with our entities, so that we can share the resources in terms of work, and we don't have a duplication of activities. Then moving to the finances, the baseline of the department has not changed much. When we presented the previous time over the MTEF, we had thought that we'll be getting 1.8 billion this year, but with the fiscal constraint, we ended up with a budget of 1.7 billion, and it's 5.5 billion over the MTEF. So if we look at the increase, the nominal growth is just only 3.5%, whereas there's a negative growth in real terms. So there was a reduction on compensation of employees, and I'm sure honorable members are aware of the cost-cutting strategies that has been imposed on compensation of employees. And also there was a cut on goods and services, where we are expected to identify efficiencies. So if we look at the 1.779 billion that we have in the current year, majority of our budget goes to compensation of employees, which is like your 32% of the budget. And the bigger portion obviously goes to transfers, because of transfers that we make to entities. And just a little portion comes to goods and services, and capital is a little portion at 1%. The next slide just shows the graphic indication and the amount of what is allocated in each category per economic classification, with transfers being 921 million and compensation of employees 572 for the year that is coming. If we look at compensation of employees, like I've indicated, we had a reduction on compensation of employees. We had initially was allocated a budget of 579 million, and now is kept at 572 million, and the headcount is also kept. Looking at the goods and services, there was a reduction of 7 million over the MTF, and this is to cater for compulsory efficiency savings. And we then said, as a department, we just have to continue finding savings within the current budget, but it becomes difficult sometimes when we have to implement. Because if you look at the next slide, it shows how our goods and services budget is allocated. And most of it goes to travel and subsistence, because when we are talking oversight in communities and physical visitation, it means people must travel there, and there has to be a budget for that traveling. So if there's any advocacy on our budget, is to increase the budget for monitoring and enforcement, so that we can be able to do a proper monitoring of the licenses and rights that has been issued to the holders. The next slide shows how much has been transferred to the entities over the MTEF. For the first time this year, we've got an allocation of the Petroleum Agency, which was reporting under energy, but now it will be a part of us going forward, which is a process that is unfolding. The next slide shows then how much is the budget per program, and you will see that a lot of the money goes to Program 4, which is the policy and promotion, and this is where the Council for Geoscience and MinTech, our big entities, are housed. And Council for Geoscience is the pillar of the start of the mining process, because they are responsible also for exploration. Then the next one shows the graphic presentation of the budget per program. And if you look at the increase, really, there's nothing much that has increased in terms of the program allocation. It's just that on Program 3, which is the regulation, because we had this injection on the PASA, that's where you see a little bit of a high allocation there. So in terms of what the programs had to do, when the program presents, you will notice that the targets that they put there is based on the money that is available, because we are not allowed to put targets that is beyond what we have. So we need more if we really need to see the transformation that we seek for as in the industry. In terms of governance, we have seen a lot of improvement in the audit outcomes of 2015-16, and the only challenge that we have is funding. And we understand the fiscal constraint, and we keep on knocking at the door to try and augment whatever that that we have, so that we can improve operational excellence. The strategic priorities currently is sourced and funded from the baseline allocation, and this makes us to have continuous trade-offs that we must apply, and sometimes it's just not practical to apply trade-offs at all time. So this process is really not sustainable, but we will continue to work within the means that we have available to improve efficiencies. Now, moving to program performance, I'll start with the branch administration. In the branch administration, is divided into two, which is the financial services, the financial administration, and the corporate services. I'm responsible for the financial administration, and I'll take you through quickly what is it that we plan to do in the financial administration side. Our purpose is to provide strategic support cutting across and in the department and ministry, and we've identified four strategic objectives as areas that we'll focus on, which is to provide efficient services to internal and external stakeholders, and this gives us an opportunity to focus on our customers, improve on the current processes, and also manage financial resources and ensure that there's promotion of corporate governance in all we do. Providing efficient services to internal and external customers, we're focused on four things, which is to ensure that we have got service standards that we have put for ourselves, and we need to make sure that those standards are met most of the time, and that we satisfy our customers. But of importance in this area is we monitor the payment of suppliers in 30 days. And for that, we try to pay at least between 10 and 15 days. And then the next one is the implementation of processes, which we have put on a master system plan in place which with regard to our ITs, and we make sure that we achieve those 100%. We also focus on managing financial resources, and there we focus on the budget and irregular expenditure. And as a department, we had not had any irregular expenditure in the previous year, and going forward, we plan not to have one. And on the corporate governance side, we just focus on making sure that we adhere and implement Auditor General recommendation and the ICT governance framework. I'm quickly running through it so that we can kill the time. So I'll ask Corporate Services to quickly take you through maybe just the key issues so that we don't read everything.
I was going to say exactly that, the key issues, because you've got the document.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As Corporate Services, yes, we do provide strategic support for the department and for the industry. The objectives being the contribution to skills development, sustainably develop vulnerable groups, communicate the DMR programs, provide adequate facilities, as well as provision of legal services and human resources services. In terms of contribution to skills development, we develop mining career awareness initiatives and also facilitate bursaries for students in the mining-related qualifications. The vulnerable groups, we identify vulnerable groups as women, people with disability, and the youth. And we provide projects with them. We assist them with, projects that, that can sustain them. And we've had quite a few projects so far that we have planned for them. And as communication also, we also provide programs that will communicate, the work of the department through branding, through media stakeholders, through public participation initiatives, our published broadcast messages, managing DMR online platforms through our website, our internet and social media, to revamp our initiative coming months, would be to revamp the DMR website, and also to raise awareness through internal communication our communication initiatives, of all our policies and programs, and provision of other services. But we do so by improving our internal processes and guidelines and the procedures within the department, and also provide also legal support and advisory services by responding timely to opinions and appeals and inquiries, and also to report or rather to also look into the incidents of mining incidents that are being inquired about or around. The improvement of our turnaround times, we tried to adhere to those defined turnaround times, so that we can respond, as I said, you know, timely to all the queries and inquiries that maybe we that are presented before us. We also we try to implement national strategies through vetting, through screening, pre-employment screening, screening of contractors, and also by also planning strategically, you know, around gender equality as well as health and safety, the programs that we develop in the department. In terms of HR legislation, we develop initiatives that are aligned to the National Skills Development Strategy, and also we are tried very hard to maintain the vacancy rate to an acceptable level, and also to have affirmative action measures implemented. That's it for corporate services. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and members. In terms of program two, the purpose still continues to for us to execute the department's mandate to safeguard the health and safety of the mine workers and people affected by mining activities. The next slide shows the strategic objectives. I think the key for us is to continuously promote health and safety to ultimately reach the goal of zero harm, and also contribute to skills development, implement service level agreements. Mainly this is that we have in terms of training and also in terms of the work that we do within the department. We also continue to review our internal processes to improve efficiency, and lastly, to improve the turnaround time of the administration work that we do. In terms of the promotion of health and safety, as I had clearly indicated, we want to reduce harm, ultimately, on the mine workers. We've agreed with the sector that there should be 20% improvement on the fatalities and injuries on a yearly basis until we reach the goal of zero harm. Similarly, with diseases, there's been a 10% improvement. There should be 10% improvement to reach that goal. And also, we conduct investigations and inquiries in terms of the provisions of the Mine Health and Safety Act. We plan to achieve 80% per annum. The next slide shows really the health data and the safety data later on. Basically shows over the last 10 years on how the sector has been performing. And this is the information that we take into consideration in our planning. Just focusing on the lower part, which is HEC A, which is homogeneous exposure groups. Although there's been improvement over exposure on airborne pollutants, mainly dust, we are not where we should be, and that's where we are also focusing on. And the next slide as well shows on noise. On the red as well, there's been an improvement because that's where the overexposure. It means overexposure. There has been an improvement over the last 10 years. Now, similarly, if you go to the next slide on the diseases, we've seen improvement in terms of the silicosis, noise-induced hearing loss, and partly TB cases. However, we've seen some increase from 2012, and it's mainly because the platinum mines have been starting to report. They have not been reporting previously, so now they are reporting. On accidents, we've seen over the last 23 years, we've seen a significant reduction on injuries, as clearly indicated on the slide, mainly with the gold sector with the light blue color, dotted color, and the coal sector with the dotted green line. At one stage, the sector was reporting over 8,000 injuries. For 2016 figures, they've reported 2,000. About 2006. Similarly with fatalities, there's been significant improvement over the last 23 years. In 1993, there were 615 reported compared to 73 last year. So we've seen continuous improvement since 2007. However, honorable members, we're still concerned that there are still injuries, there are still fatalities, and also there's diseases that are being reported. The next slide, it basically shows the comparison between 2014 and 15. We're still finalizing the 2016 rates. Normally, the committee would like us to show by province, and that's, this slide is really showing by province the same figures that I've highlighted. And the next strategic, continuing with the strategic objective of health and promoting health and safety, I think for us the key of improving health and safety is to do monitoring of the mines through inspections and audits. So we've planned to do 8,000 and almost 400 for audits. And we also continue to engage with the sector through workshops, including the business and also the labor or organized labor. I've spoken about skills development on the next slide. We are implementing the certificate of competence model. We administer the exams through the mine, as requested by the Mine Health and Safety Act, and also work together with the Department of Higher Education and Training through the Mining Qualification Authority to improve on skills development. I've spoken about the issue of SLAs in the next slide that we have, especially with training of our inspectors, and we review our internal processes to really to improve efficiency. And lastly, we also do work on turnaround times, mainly with the medical appeals and also the chief inspector's appeals. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm going to present the plan for Mineral Reservation Branch. Our purpose is to regulate the minerals and mining sector to ensure economic development, employment, and ensure transformation and environmental compliance. Our strategic objectives, Chairperson, are listed on the second slide. I will skip that because I'm going to go through it one by one. On the second slide, we promote job creation through the number of rights that we are issuing and the implementation of social and labor plans. And in the current financial year, we have planned 7,000 jobs. We also promote job creation through the implementation of SLP development projects. And 120 projects are planned in the current financial year. Our second objective is to promote sustainable resources use and management. Here, Chairperson, it includes all the elements that we look at when we issue the mining right, and we want to make sure that is implemented 100%. Our next objective is to reduce state environmental liability and financial risk, which is where we are dealing with issues whereby we ensure that there's enough financial provision to deal with to rehabilitate the mines. The second one is to implement transformation and policy legislation, and we do that through the number of rights and permits that we issue to HDSA controlled entity, and 150 of those are planned in the current financial year. We also time and again engage the communities, and with regard to the BEE issues, with regard to the SLP issues, and any other issues that the communities might have, and we are planning about 150 of those consultations with the communities. And one industry workshop per province, which will in the main deal with procurement. The next slide deals with monitoring and enforcement, Chairperson, and a total of 2,062 inspections will be conducted to monitor and enforce compliance. That is very important, Chairperson, to do that, because when we issue a mining right, there's a number of things that we check. We check whether the company will be able to legally comply, whether they will be economically viable and financially viable, and also that they will be in a position to comply with environmental legislations. So time and again, we need to follow up on those and check that they are complying as per their application or the right that has been issued. And the next two slides seeks to break per province how many rights we're going to be issued or we are planning to issue to HDSA, and the consultations that I've spoken to and the industry. And also the other slides indicate those compliances that I've just mentioned and how many will be conducted per province. The last objective from our side, Chairperson, is to improve our turnaround times with regard to the adjudication or the finalizing of the prospecting and mining rights application in line with the time frame. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Oh, there's still one. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Thank you, Honorable Chair. The next presentation will be on Program 4, Mineral Policy and Promotion.
Yes.
The purpose is to develop mining, minerals, and upstream petroleum industries policies and promote investment and development of these industries. On the objectives, Chair, I just want to highlight, although I'm going to be going through one by one, the first one, the primary one, is the promote investment in the mining, minerals, and upstream petroleum sectors. It's mainly because as a department, we play an important role in as far as the investment is concerned, and it's crucial that our policies, therefore, needs to talk to that, and that's what we do. Secondly, which I want to highlight, it's facilitate transformation in the mining and mineral sector. Honorable members would know that there are challenges which the mineral sector is facing, and it is incumbent on this department, specifically Program 4, to talk to this. The next slide is about to promote investment in the mining, minerals, and upstream petroleum sectors. Honorable Chair and members, in this one, specifically, I would want to highlight three areas, specifically the support for SMMEs in the mining sector. We hope to support 80 of these nationally. Secondly, we view as a department the issue of shale gas as a game changer, and therefore there is a plan to implement shale gas action plan during the current financial year. And lastly, there is a need to provide a report on mineral input quantities for beneficiation value chains. And that will be one report in terms of that. The next one is about management and implementation of mineral resource diplomacy. We are aware that South Africa is part of the regional and international community, and as such, we planned to engage several countries within the African continent as well as outside of the African continent. But our interest, amongst others, includes diamond mining as well as creation of markets for our SOEs. The next slide, promote sustainable resource use and management. I think of essence, especially on the first column, technical partnerships implemented with SOEs and government organizations. I think it's very important to note that for us to be able to deliver in terms of our deliverables as a department, amongst others, we need collaboration or partnerships with, amongst others, Council for Geoscience, MINTEC, Benguela Current Commission, the African Diamond Producers Association, and some of the UN systems on the protection of the environment. Also very important is the issue of the project on the rehabilitation of derelict and ownerless mines. Honorable members would note that we as a department, amongst others, and specifically this program, we are faced with the challenge of addressing the challenges which are posed by this the so-called derelict and ownerless mines in the country. So in the current financial year, we are going to be doing the 45 of them. The last one is the mine environmental tools developed. We'll do three, but I want to highlight, amongst others, the challenge which we are facing as a country is the issue of acid mine drainage. Amongst the reports which will be produced, it will be on the ingress control of the acid mine drainage. The next one is the integrated and aligned environmental efforts. Here, basically, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we intend to collaborate with several government departments, amongst others, is the Department of Environmental Affairs, Department of Water and Sanitation. Members would be aware that there is a provision which is provided for within the MPRDA and the National Environmental Management Act, which is supposed to give effect to what we call one environmental system. So collaboration will include that, and also engagement with Department of Enterprise, as well as Department of Labor, precisely on the what we call Expanded Public Works Program. The next one is about facilitation of transformation in the mining and mineral sector. I think, as indicated, there are several legislations which are already in the process, and it is our intention as a program and as a department to finalize this. This includes, amongst others, the MPRDA, MINCOSA, the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill, and obviously the regulations which will give effect to this legislative framework. The next one is develop and review internal processes. Basically here, again, to ensure efficiency of what we are carrying out as a department, amongst others, to develop mechanisms. For example, it is our intention during the current financial year to conduct what we call a LIDAR survey, which would be a survey on the asbestos mine sites to be able to get to a feel of what challenges, environmental challenges, and what the SOEs, both MINTEC and Council for Geoscience, needs to be looking at. The idea being to fast track specifically the rehabilitation process. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson and Honourable Members. We will continue to implement the plan in a coordinated manner, aligned to the NDP, and we are available really to give you progress report on specific areas that the committee is interested in. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, CFO. You said so, ne? Okay. Thank you very much. And we have agreed that we will not engage in today with the presentation that you have made. We'll find a day where we'll also deal with the issue of taking it to our council. So thank you for the presentation to you and also to the members of the committee. We have made a provision of lunch because we knew that time would be against us to go and quickly to the dining hall. So you can also join us for lunch. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Even the minutes, we'll deal with them in the meeting where we'll be interacting with the report. Thank you.
Okay. Write to me and I respond to him or via the
central.
Yeah. I've received. That's a submission. That's a presentation.
So I have copies of it.
Let me explain. Yeah, he sent me an email. A very nasty one. He sent me an email. Right? Now, this email
is you guys.
No, we'll never leave. Okay.
No, I was just wondering if you can put a face to a name.
No, sorry.
Okay. Let me explain. Okay. I sent out an email calling for responses on the 8th. This person responded on the 9th of June. Right. The reason, and Hank now sends me about a rather abrupt one today. I went through all my emails, could not find this email that Robin Wickham sent. I called in IT and guess where they found it, and I told them not to delete it, not to move it. It goes to my junk mail.
Okay. I don't know why that would happen.
You see, I also don't know. IT also can't explain it. On the 9th?
Have you gotten
it's a .org.ca.
A filter, for some reason, it's funny with .org.
Okay.
Just
now, you're not the only one.
I don't know why.
You're not the only one.
Okay.
See, I got the guy from UCT.
.ac.za.
Denisa.
Okay.
He sent me, now, I sent that email out on the
8th.
There's the 8th. Mm-hmm. And I sent another one. He responded on the 12th and the 14th. No record of it until I checked my junk mail, and there's it. The 12th and. So I don't know. I never checked my junk mail.
Yeah, I mean, that's very fair.
So now I'm sitting with a predicament that Hank is jumping up and down, and he's going to come back and blame me again, like we did the last time, because he's not as kindly to. Because he said something in a letter that went to the chairperson of the council that said, I said X, Y, and Z on a specific day. And then they showed the reflection. And put it in the picture.
Hi, Sylvester. Ivan, yeah?
The day he said, I said X, Y, and Z.
I'm sorry that had to happen.
Do you have any prison cases that
none.
I can just have a look at?
There was none.
There weren't any.
No, but I've actually already spoken to Oscar to see if one can't. And this one was fun.
Has he been here?
No. So Chamber of Mines and Opasa didn't come. So Black First Lancers. So none of. So obviously this is next week's program.
Is that next week's program?
This is today's program.
Okay. I see.
But
okay, no, that can't be enough. I thought it was this afternoon. I was coming for this afternoon.
Yeah, no. I think they've got. They obviously got a problem with time in that.
So I left with those.
But you know, really, it was just about. I think the main thrust of people's concern about the lack. I mean, all of them was about the lack of access for communities in the process. They feel that the entire process supports the big boys, so to speak. And
just to prove to you.
Not enough support being given to small mining, the communities living in the mining areas. I think Milan Shells was obviously more about technical problems with the way the buildings are off.
Now, were they speaking on behalf of a community?
No, they were on their own, Milan Shells, but all the others were on speaking on behalf of communities.
Right?
But Maran Shelter, I think they were just at an interval party. I think, I'm sure there's probably somebody there. But they were saying most of the recommendations in the bill is not.
Yeah.
They did talk about it. But most, they were more concerned about the way the bill is drafted in terms of language, and there were some concerns about constitutionality, but it was different to the procedural issue. But more that when the minister overreaching his powers, as one knows, this is a common thing that he can't just go and legislate. It's Parliament's role.
Two things.
It's a bit disjointed. Chamber of Mines and Apartheid would be interesting, but I'm not sure. After the current.
They probably said disgusting.
Exactly, they thought, you're not coming.
But first, let me sort out
that point.
Yes.
Okay.